Welcome to Juno Afternoon and Ganashish for being here with us today on the eve of celebration. The 40th anniversary of this gathering of Southeast Alaska Natives to dance, sing, and share their art and culture. Rosita Worrell, president of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, was involved in getting the first celebration off the ground. And I talked with her about celebration both then and now and asked her about this year's theme, celebrating 10,000 years of cultural survival.
We thought that the theme was really apropos considering everything that we've been going through in the last couple of years with the pandemic. And we wanted to really highlight, you know, that we've been here for 10,000 years and we've gone through a lot of different challenges that would seem to have threatened our cultural survival. But we've survived climate change with glacial advances, glacial retreats that caused our people to have to move their villages. When the visitors, Euro-Americans, arrived in Alaska, unfortunately, they brought with them some viruses and diseases to which we had no immunity. And so we've gone through a pandemic before. And then we had this last major one. But yet we survived and we're prospering. So we thought that the theme was just apropos.
Well, still, it has to be hard to have a four-year hiatus.
Well, I'm sure it was hard for everybody. Very, very difficult to be socially isolated. But for us as a tribal people with our different ceremonies that we have, we weren't able to come together. And some of those ceremonies are like healing ceremonies after the loss of a loved one. We have a series of ceremonies and we weren't able to do that. And it really caused a lot of grief. Those ceremonies are a way of us getting together, supporting one another, and then also honoring our loved ones who have passed on. And we weren't able to do any of those kind of ceremonies. It was hard on us. And I know it was hard on everyone. And so having celebration just seemed so important to us so that we could be together again.
So this celebration is packed with meaning in so many ways.
Yes.
So I would just like to turn the clock back, rewind the video, so to speak, back to 40 years ago on the eve of the first renewal of celebration. And I'm curious, what were your emotions on the eve of that very first event?
Well, I have to tell you, I was really very excited. I was on the Board of Trustees at the time and had actually worked to support celebration. I was also on the State Arts Council Traditional Native Arts Panel, and I had secured funding for what we called endangered arts at that point in time. And I had said that our dance wasn't endangered, but that there were things that were changing. And so we wanted to get together to have that renewal, bringing our culture out into the open. So that was really exciting for us. When I see the videos of myself, I guess I was still a young lady then, and I'm so mad at myself because in the videos, I could see myself talking to my buddies and not listening to the elders. They had some really profound things to say. And now that I've had an opportunity to go back and watch those videos, I saw myself there not always listening, but it was exciting. It really was exciting for us all to be together, to bring our culture out into the open. But in retrospect, when we look at it, we saw that it was primarily elders and adults. We didn't have young people around. But at the time, I didn't notice that, but because I was so exciting to hear all the oratory. And oh, the oratory is fabulous. And right now we're transcribing and translating that because we're realizing that oratory is something, again, in our culture that needs support for it to survive.
David Katsik was one of the elders who passed, and he was, of course, a master of oratory. And I just have to read a quote that's on your schedule. I just love this. Celebration has had a big impact on us as people. The greatest contribution of celebration is the recognition, acknowledgement, and acceptance of ourselves and not being afraid to let people know who we are. We want our voices to sound across the land. And that's what happens at Celebration. That's such an appropriate quote from David Kutzyk. But boy, I can't help but wonder what he would say at this 40th anniversary celebration.
Oh, of course, he was our clan leader, the Thunderbird clan leader. And he left a big hole, not only in our clan, but our community and our region as a whole. And he just had a way with words. And I know that he would be applauding us all getting together again. And he was just fabulous. And I know he would have been ecstatic. And he'll be here in spirit.
In spirit. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about what existed prior to Celebration as far as people feeling free to celebrate their culture.
Well, it is a period in our history. The Russians came in the mid-1700s, and our way of life, you know, didn't change that much with them. But when the Americans came, there was really an effort to suppress our culture, our languages, and our art. We went through a dark period and where our culture had to go underground. And I recall us, when we'd have ceremonies, we'd hear planes coming in and we'd have to rush and scramble and pretend that we weren't having a ceremony. That was in the 60s, mind you, the 60s. And so when Celebration started, there was that statement that we're going to bring our culture out into the open. And I really do have to thank our elders for making that statement and making that effort.
A lot of the people that were involved in getting Celebration off the ground are no longer with us. Can you tell us about some of the people that were instrumental in getting Celebration started?
Well, I have to look towards Dr. Sobolov, Judson Brown. Judson Brown was a strong advocate for Celebration, and he served on the board of CLASCA as well. And then we had Bob Martin there. He and his wife, Stella, were very active in the ANB and ANS. And so they brought all of their wealth of knowledge, not only about our culture, but also about organizations and how do we get CLASCA Heritage and Celebration started. So we had great leaders, great elders who were strong in our culture, and strong in their advocacy to bring, as they say, open up the box of knowledge.
And boy, that box of knowledge keeps giving and giving and giving, kind of like Pandora's box, except Pandora's box let loose a lot of illnesses and only one butterfly of hope. But it seems like this box has been just butterflies of hope everywhere.
Yeah. If you see our arts campus building, it is in the shape of three bentwood boxes. So we just think it's very symbolic that we're saying to the world, let's open up our box of knowledge, ensure our cultural survival, but also share our culture and our cultural values with others. Because I've always said over and over again that our cultural values must be really significant if they allowed us to survive decades and decades of challenges.
Well, that's very beautiful, the imagery, to think that when we look at your arts campus, to envision three treasure boxes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the schedule for this week, but one of the things I wanted to jump ahead to is you are going to have a documentary air looking over the 40 years of Celebration. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
That was an exciting project. We had hoped that we would be able to have it out for 2020, but of course that didn't happen. And so we had a lot more time to plan for that. We're celebrating actually our 40th anniversary of CLASCA Heritage Institute. And we wanted to celebrate our celebration. So it's a retrospective view of the first celebration and then the growth of celebration. It grew from just a dance festival to include an artist market, juried art shows, baby regalia review, and a native food contest. So it's the growth and expansion of Celebration.
Later in this program, we're going to be talking to two organizations that are piggybacking on Celebration. Theater Alaska, which is putting on a playwriting workshop, hoping to attract young Alaska Natives, and then also Ock Rock is going to have a side stage this year to promote their event next year on the off year of Celebration. So it must be exciting to you that Celebration keeps gaining momentum with all these other groups wanting to be a part of it.
Well, we think that's exciting. And also, I do have to acknowledge that many organizations contribute to Celebration and sponsor these activities. So I think they make Celebration richer and they make it possible with their donations. I mean, Celebration is a costly enterprise.
But do you think that it's worth every penny?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Even having it on TV, statewide TV, so that people who are not able to come to Celebration are able to participate in that way. And there are so many cute pictures that they'll send in to us showing their kids dancing in front of the TV along with other dance groups. So although it's localized here in Juneau, we do know that we have wide participation and viewership from all across the state. And actually, when we went virtual in 2020, when we first put it on virtual, it lit up. We had viewers from all across the world, even South Africa. So, yeah.
Alrighty. So, Rosita, let's take a look at the event schedule. And really, there is so much to take in, but perhaps you could give us a few highlights. And of course, it all begins tomorrow, Wednesday, June 8th.
Yes. Well, we begin Celebration with a grand opening of the Arts Campus. And we're all excited that we will be able to begin Celebration in this way. It actually is a two-part ceremony. The first part of the ceremony is a traditional ceremony where we will give thanks, you know, to the spirit of the trees for allowing us to use the cedar for the construction of our arts campus facility. We will be feeding the spirits of the trees, what we call a spirit dance and song. And in our culture, if you have an eagle or one side do a song or dance, then you have to have the opposite side also reciprocate with a dance and song themselves. So the first part will be just that, the ceremony acknowledging the opening of the campus. But then we'll move over to the Sea Alaska values, cultural values totem pole. This is the first of its kind, a totem pole that's carved in the round, all the way around, 360 degrees around that totem pole. And so in that ceremony, Sea Alaska will be acknowledging all of the deceased directors and CEOs, the chief executive officers. In our belief system and in our ceremonies, when we call out the names of individuals, deceased individuals, we are calling their spirits to participate in the activity. So that'll be the opening of Celebration, this arts campus opening. And then we'll move right into the Juried Art Show Awards right after that, beginning at 4 o'clock. And that will be right in our Walter Sobeloff building, the Shukahit, our clan house. We'll do the awards there. And then you'll be able to also look at the exhibit. Also, I should note that we will also have the Juried Youth Art Exhibit. So that's exciting. That's something new that we added. And I'm telling you, our youth are just great. In the last Celebration we had, the participants of the Youth Juried Art Show, they were fabulous. In fact, I wouldn't have known that they were youth because their work was as every good as the adults.
So what does that tell you?
It's part of our whole effort is to integrate our arts and culture into the schools. And you can see where we're having the greatest success, like in the arts. It comes from Metlakatla and Ketchikan. They always have great artists there. So our young are learning about the arts and our culture. So, I mean, that's a statement in itself that responds to what our elders had said, is that our children are learning in new ways. And what the elders were saying is that our children are learning in schools. And so that's where we have to bring the instruction of our culture and our art. And it's working. So anyway, so that's at 4 o'clock, and then it'll finish in enough time for us to rush over to the Elizabeth Paradovich Hall and to get ready for our grand entrance. That will be the first day. We'll have the grand entrance and then the welcoming by dignitaries to celebration once we are all in the Centennial Hall. So that tops off a very busy Wednesday for us.
So describe to me why I want to be there on the street watching.
Well, to see 1,000 or more dancers and hear the singing and the drumming, you get swept away into the excitement. And I know people who are watching want to dance, and we certainly encourage them to dance if they want to dance, you know. But then it's that march into the Centennial Hall. And here is where you feel the unity of our people. When I've watched it, when I've been on stage and watched the groups come in, I likened it to almost like schools of salmon. They're returning home. But here we are returning to our togetherness, physical togetherness in this grand procession that we have. You almost like are in a trance, because it takes about 2 hours, you know, for the whole group to get into the Centennial Hall.
So what is your absolute favorite part of celebration? I know it's hard because there's so many wonderful things that happen, but do you have a part you especially enjoy?
Oh, I will say that I've been so lucky to be able to be up there on the stage as the dancers go by, and then to see the faces and the happiness and the young ones coming by. I love it because I get to look right into their faces because I'm able to sit up there on the front. So that is really rewarding. But the other one is the baby regalia review. And that baby regalia review, and I keep saying it's a regalia review, it's not a contest, you know, because I certainly wouldn't want to put anybody in that position of judging which baby has the best regalia. And just to see our future dancing by or marching by in their regalia, to me, that is really rewarding, just knowing that our culture is in good hands with little ones that are learning about our culture.
And that's on Friday the 10th from 1 to 2 at Centennial Hall. Oh, that sounds so exciting to see. I have not seen the toddler regalia review. So just in wrapping things up, what do you want people to think about this year for celebration? Aside from the theme of surviving all those years, what do you hope will be on people's minds?
Well, I want us to think about our future. I know that the pandemic has been overwhelming and difficult for us, but to me, I like to think that this celebration will mark again a new beginning for us, a time where we could reflect on what's happened, what we've come through, but yet to celebrate our future. And I see a good future for us. I see a future where our children and the public enjoys the cultural diversity, the richness of our state, of our community. And to me, that is the richness of our state, is that we have these viable cultures that are still prospering and giving us continued wealth.
Was Rosita Worrell, president of Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, taking us on a journey of celebrations past, present, and future.